fighting for America.
When is the administration going to tell the American people the truth about Benghazi?
Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Why aren't we talking about something else?
Democrats are all talk and no action.
Fighting for Idaho.
How about the A-10 platform? There's never been a question in my mind that it's going to go away. The question is, when?
We're always going to be ready when the governor calls us up and when the president calls us to go overseas and take care of our nation's wars. We're going to do that too.
Fighting for you.
There's people have an attitude about attorneys already. I have a lot of friends who are attorneys, so my, you know, apologies ahead of time here to my friends who are attorneys out there listening.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning. Woo! On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, Dave Petzl with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Dave, we've got this disclosure here from the Washington Times showing our congressman, Congressman Labrador, offering a potential immigration deal to the White House, saying the GOP would agree to loosen penalties on the illegals if Obama would increase visas for foreigners who work in high-tech fields. We can't even employ our Americans, our American workers that are in America. There's only one person that is stating this case economically, and that's Senator Sessions of Alabama. Why in the world are we going to flood the market with a bunch of low-end, low-wage workers to disrupt what we have right now that is fragile? And that's being optimistic when we're talking the economy.
I don't think they're flooding. They're already here. Aren't we really talking about those folks that are already here, Kevin, and that we might be able to work out a deal immigration-wise with them versus the as long as they're allowed on the high-tech industry to have more people come in. This has actually been an ongoing battle.
How do we I'm not talking about the high-tech ones right now. I'm talking about the low-wage ones right now.
Right, but they're already here, are they not? Aren't we,
but they're not working here legally. They don't pay taxes. They're a drain on our system. Let's be brutally honest.
They are a drain.
You talk to people in education, and Obama last week made it official that you can't deny people because they're here illegally, education.
Right.
The folks that are working in education have been educating illegal aliens and their kids for quite some time.
They have.
And we're paying for that.
And health care.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Emergency services of any kind. I know. Right. I know. Are they leaving tomorrow, Kevin? That's my point. They're not going to leave. They're not leaving. So what do we do with them? That's the point of an immigration bill, isn't it? Is to try to find some balance that makes sense for the country going forward. The people are here.
I'm with you.
And I don't think they just make them legal. I agree. Go ahead.
Right. But the issue here is that if all of a sudden you wave a magic wand, and let's say Billy, who's been here illegally and has been working under the table, now he can compete against anyone, and he's an instant citizen. Never mind the political ramifications from this. I don't get it. Now, the high-tech thing, I think what you and I are going to agree to disagree, there are a lot of Americans that have these degrees, and we hear this, well, we need to employ people because we've got a nation of dummies. I don't believe that.
Well, I don't believe we have a nation of dummies either, but there are not enough of the high-tech jobs out there, or people to fill those high-tech jobs. Now, we're not talking about can people, Americans, be, you know, have a minor amount of training. But we're talking about engineers putting together microchips, things like that for Micron. Micron, even when they were laying off the 5,000 people, I'm going to say 5-6 years ago, it was a little longer, I think, but somewhere in that range, they still had a help wanted sign out for engineers, even as layoffs were occurring. So it is an ongoing battle, Kevin. It's hard. We just don't have enough of those really intricate high-tech engineering graduates.
I think we do.
Okay.
And we've talked to our experts who have told us that when they come over here on these limited visas,
yes,
they're really, these high-tech workers are more like indentured servants because they don't have the same rights as citizens.
Well, they don't.
Right. So they're pretty much beholden to the company.
But you're saying you're not saying they should have the same rights as U.S. citizens.
I'm saying that we should exhaust every and all avenue to employ Americans. I think that you go to any other country, their citizens come first. And with respect to people that have come here illegally, look, why have a speed limit then? Why should we pay taxes?
I think you're absolutely right.
Anyway, I digress on the politics. But from an economics point of view, I don't believe that this country is strong enough right now to handle an influx of these people here. Now, Dave, you argue that they're already here.
Yes.
However, You're going to have to, let's say there's a guy making 50, well, the minimum wage is going to go up anyway.
Yeah,
let's say there's a guy making, you know, minimum wage or above minimum wage. You can hire somebody else to come in and all of a sudden take their job for a lot less.
I know. And I do think that it will. First of all, if they are legal, if they become legal, become part of the system, then they too would find the minimum wage laws would apply to them as well. Would they not?
You would hope.
I would think so. I would think I would think that's part of the reason that people enjoy hiring illegals, because they do not have to pay them nor treat them the same as you would a U.S. citizen. It's off the record. It's off the off the grid.
You are correct. And the businesses that do this here at 580KIDO, let's face it, we subsidize them because they don't pay their health care. They go to the emergency room. They don't pay their taxes for education.
That's right.
I mean, how crazy was it when Bank of America back in the day, when the economy was booming, because I used to work in a place where Bank of America was really big, they had a special mortgage program for people that were here illegally. They would advertise it all the time.
No, there's a whole subculture.
Crazy.
The payday loans, all those things wouldn't exist without illegals. They would not exist. Certainly not as many of them anyway. But, Kevin, I think that you know, one of the things that is really done, again, back to the politics of this, that is really done poorly in this country is to have very, very high penalties for people that employ illegals. They're the ones that we are subsidizing more than anything else. And they basically, nobody wants to fill those jobs. You know what? That's just not true.
Yeah.
It's not true. Maybe they don't want to fill them without any benefits, without a decent wage. Perhaps that's what they don't want to fill. But to actually hire them and not have them paying taxes, payroll taxes, things like that, these folks are getting off with, really, in my opinion, they're the ones that are taking advantage of the system.
Dave Petzl with us here, Petzl Center, Petzl Financial, available on Twitter and Facebook at 580KIDO, where we continue on. So let's take a look at... Let's take a look at the elections. We haven't really talked about the elections much. Are they really going to impact the economy here in the state? Let's say Russ Fulcher beats Butch Otter. Is that going to make a difference?
No, I wouldn't think so. No. Now, if you're talking local politics, no. We have a fairly conservative state. I think it'll stay that way, obviously. And, you know, if you're talking about nationally, though, does this election matter? You bet it does, Kevin. It matters a lot, especially in my industry, Frank Dodd's, bill that is not even half written yet. It's been, 5 years ago they passed this stupid thing. It's crazy. It's just crazy. It's the bureaucrats have just gone absolutely ballistic with how they write law, and now they just simply make up the administrative rules later. So they just pass a giant framework, and then really the meat of the bill is built by non-elected bureaucrats, administrators.
Right, and that's what we're seeing here, and that's why you're saying that the elections locally, it's just going to be that same par for the course. So if I'm running, if Dave Petzl were running for governor at 580KIDO, what would be your platform as far as the economy? You and I have talked about this for quite some time, getting rid of the chair tax, which I believe the governor did.
The governor did do that, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So what other key things, you and I go back and forth on incentives. Netflix, I've just become, I'm late to the adopter stage.
Oh, no, you have to pay the extra dollar then, don't you?
Right, I guess. I've become a big fan of Netflix lately. House of Cards. House of Cards just got a subsidy from the state of Maryland. It went from $7 million to $20 million a year. But they believe that, that production is worth it. So back to the Petzl for Governor campaign at 580KIDO, what would it take to bring some big businesses here with respect to what you've always told me? You've got to take care of the core assets in the state. You can't just fall in love with somebody from
the shiny new.
Right.
You can't, and you have to really encourage existing businesses. I don't know what the state could do, for example, for Micron, but they should also, to that point, we forget about Micron. I interviewed Micron last week, 6,300 local jobs, all high-paying, by the way. All of them are high-paying, right? And the payroll taxes that come into the state, we want to make sure that they're very, very happy and stay here. So I don't know what that specifically would look like with them, but I think that your point of not always running after what's shiny and new. Now, to your point, though, we do have to run after what's shiny and new.
Right, the Petzl for Governor economic platform.
Oh, right, yes. So what's shiny and new?
What would you do?
I think you have to give tax breaks, just like they are, and we've already seen Chobani and all these others come here, and those are decent jobs in an area that is really hurting. But when you take it a step further, Kevin, why don't we just have it broadly instead of one-off the way it is now? Instead of one-off, do something like New York's doing, right? No taxes for 10 years. Well, you know what? That's meaningful to a new business. Why wouldn't I consider locating there? I would never have thought of New York as a place that was safe for business, right? Would be encouraging for business. But it is. And that's the message they're putting out. So I think that we're not going to run our state based on a zero tax bracket the way Texas is. We don't have oil. We don't have natural resources the way they do. So we're going to have to continue to have a tax. But if you're starting up a business, part of the encouragement to locate here would, in my mind, be a tax break for a meaningful period of time.
580KIDO, Dave Petzl with us as we take a look at news about your money. Coming up after news, weather, and traffic, we'll talk a little bit about personal finance. But back to the state of the state, I'm trying to think of any other economic platforms. You have a lot of people and our friends, whether it's Idaho Steve Ackerman, whether it's Tea Party Bob, say that, yeah, we're getting jobs, but they're low-wage jobs. I totally understand that, but are those the only jobs available? I mean, how many times are you going to have a Toyota, a Mercedes, have these high-paying jobs? The fact that we've gotten these Chobanis and others to come here, I mean, is the pool saturated when it comes to these factories that are only going to pay so much?
No, we might find some saturation with that, but there are lots of jobs out there. My whole industry is dying for young people to come in and take the mantle, if you will, financial advice, because us old gray hairs, another 20 years, we're going to be...
Another 20?
Yeah. Some less. I like what I do, so I'm probably going to do this till I'm dead, but sometime I will be dead, and somebody's going to need to take my place, and there's going to be others. But this is very, very hard to get started in, and I just don't see anybody knocking my door down to say I want to work my tail off and get going. And it is a difficult thing in our industry.
Yeah, but you know, Dave Petzl, I'm waving at you off the air for those people following at home because our video stream is down. Let's face it. There are many people that are in your business that want to get in your business, but few people do it for the right measures. I had a guy that was my neighbor in Pittsburgh. He was a young kid. You know, he's a guy that actually negotiated down a widow who just lost her husband to buy a house. So that's the type of person this individual was. And actually, while my house was gone, hooked up electricity and jacked up my electric bill.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is the
nice type guy.
Of, right. So the last conversation I had with him, he was talking about getting into financial services, financial management, not to help people, yep, because it was good money.
That's right.
How do you balance that?
Well, Kevin, I'll probably get into some trouble here.
Well, you don't have to go there, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In general,
you can't legislate morality. We try. However, what we've ended up doing is creating a massive bureaucracy that is really without much teeth. But there are some simple things that they can do, and one of them, I get in trouble with this, but
you don't have to go there. You could just say that you have to be certified.
You know what? I want to. It's a different venue. It's something that people should be aware of, that the state of Idaho literally does not protect its senior citizens on the insurance side. We have the poorest annuity regulations in the country. I don't even think we are like second worst to Mississippi or something like that. Isn't it Mississippi that's always like, it's like, hey, we beat Mississippi. We can't even beat Mississippi on this, okay? It's just totally okay. And I think the thing that gets so frustrating for me is that they know that. They know that the rules are very, very lax, that they can have annuity products that shouldn't be allowed, and that they're very complicated and very complex. And when I say all this on the insurance side is to say that people mask themselves as a retirement income specialist, blah, 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 whatever. They even have initials to go with these things. It has reached a point where the certified financial planners of the country, CFPs, which is very legitimate, takes a long time, license to get, very hard to get, a lot of study. has disallowed any of these other licenses to be out there and has its own set of rules and disclosures that must be met or you'll lose your CFP designation, because the state of Idaho is one of those states that just simply apparently doesn't really like senior citizens. They really don't care about them. I can't phrase it any other way. They apparently don't care because the product has no legitimate use other than profiteering for the insurance companies and certainly profiteering for the agents out there. Because, Kevin, there's a lot of people out there that have no interest at all, like you said, in delivering a really good product. I can't imagine that, but this industry, to me, I love it. I love working with people every day. It's something that just brings such a complete sense of purpose that I don't know why people would shortcut the way they do and not have this be what I don't even work any day. I don't work.
More coming up from Dave Petzl, who doesn't work at 580 KIDO. Let's get to
your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night.
580 KIDO, our friend Dave Petzl with us here. Phone number's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So, Dave, how does one get rich?
With time. Diligence.
You never get that question, do you?
Yeah. It's usually, come on, give me a hot tip. Yeah, come on. Come on. It's exactly not how people think it is. You don't find a hot investment and then it goes to the moon. That's a very, very rare occurrence. It's like winning the lottery. But it's through entrepreneurship typically for most people, but for many of us, it's a process of investing with entrepreneurs, that is, in businesses, and compounding money over the years. It's actually very easy to do.
It's very easy to get rich.
Very easy to get rich, yep. It is. Here's the problem, Kevin. People are not long-term investors. They may say it, but they're not. So they flit in and out of the market. They don't have the patience to wait out any rough patches, which are inevitable. Certain as the sun coming up and setting every day is the fact that we have market cycles and we have market setbacks. Also, through all of our lives, our ancestors' lives as well, the market continues to come back and grow. That's why I say it's easy, but it's hard. It's the easiest hard game in the world. Easy to do in the abstract. Hard to pull off in that if you want to go spend all your money on hobbies, in bars, on chicks and guys, whatever it is, you
Why are you looking at me and saying when you say guys? What's that about? Just kidding. No, anyway.
If people do that and they don't put money away, there's nothing to invest in. If you aren't going to let the money compound for 20 or 30 years and flit it back and forth into different investments, then that's fine. So you're not going to either. But if you simply have, in our country's history, spent less than you brought in, put it away in investments, and I'm not talking about savings, I'm talking about the market, investing it, and you don't act like a cowboy, you do it with diligence regularly, put it away and keep it put away, you get rich. It's happened every single generation, forever. It's absolutely crazy, and yet we want to reinvent the wheel. We want to come up with these equity index annuities. We want to, you know, because everybody's all scared. We want to talk about doing new trading programs and stop losses and all these things instead of just buying quality companies, putting them away, and keeping your hands off of them. Then you can become rich.
580 KIDO as we continue on there. You heard it here first. How to get rich from Dave Petzl, Petzl Financial, the Petzl Center. I have another question. I was thinking of you this weekend. I think of you a lot. I know that you share a lot of your off-air moments thinking of me and the great times that we have here together. But I was driving down the road, and I was looking at all these homes that are for sale.
Right.
And I think in the last two or three years, we've seen some incredible growth, some incredible deals on housing in the Treasure Valley. And do you think that those days are gone because values are starting to reappreciate again? Mm-hmm. And I thought this would be a great question for Dave Petzl here at 580KIDO when we're talking about the housing market. Value was great the past few years. You could get a home that was at one time valued at $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 for, you know, half of that or, you know, much less.
Right. those values are gone, and that's healthy. It just says the market has not disintegrated, and it's come back, and the excess repossessions are off the market. So the market is a healthy, strong market, and I think value from I've got to buy a place. I want to have a place to live. Where interest rates are today, it's a decent value. But people, I don't know why people think that their home is an investment. It's a money pit.
However, I think about this, and, 10, 20 years from now, are we going to look back and go, gosh, there were some incredible deals on homes 10 years ago. Like we talk about in 07 when the unemployment rate here in Ada County was 2.5%.
That's right. It was just the opposite.
Right. It's right. Just amazing when I look at the homes, and I'm wondering, based on what you're seeing, where the houses, the prices are going up.
Kevin, I do. First of all, it's still the same story. I moved here 35 years ago, and it was a sleepy little town of Boise, Idaho, and it really was pretty sleepy around here. But this is not sleepy anymore. It's a good-sized community, and it's exactly the kind of size that people like. It's got the best four-season climate. I've traveled a lot of places. I just know of none that has a better four-season climate. And we don't have tornadoes and all those other things on top of it. So, and the people are flat nice. People are moving
here.
You
get spoiled.
You do.
You get spoiled because when you go to the airport, when you go somewhere else, you're like, hi, and they look at you. Who are you?
Yeah, you're a freak show. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, but you have to understand that that people do want to come here. So when you have money, you can telecommute. You can do all those things, and maybe you want a mountain bike, and you pick up a magazine and say, what is that? Boise. It's always in there. It's Boise, 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 Boise. So finally you come here. You know some guys. They talk it up, and then all of a sudden you come here, and you find it's a magnificent place, and you move your one- or two-person shop or just you here, and you bring money, and that comes to the valley because they've come from California. They can buy whatever they want around here for very, very cheap. Again, don't buy too much.
Dave Petzo, don't buy too much, and it's easy to get rich.
It is. The principles are easy, but it's not a big enough book.
Let me
know.
Put it to you this way. We never say we're too busy for you. Well, there was that one time when I was with the Bundy Ranch. But no, you were on. I was even at the Bundy Ranch surrounded by men with guns.
Yep.
And we never, we're not like your friends over there where you dress up.
That's right.
We're too busy for you today. Dave Petzo, we'll catch
you
Saturday.
Yeah, love it. Talk to you then.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Dave. 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Dave Burnett with us as we start the Manly Man segment. And here we are. It's Tuesday already. How far the week has flown.
All the way to Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We made it through one day of the work week.
It's one of those things. You just kind of, it hits you sometimes. You just, boom, it's only Tuesday.
What gets me is how early the sun is rising now.
It's about time.
It's about time?
It's about time that sun. I would love it if the sun would come up at 5 o'clock every morning. And go to bed. Sun, I guess, just doesn't go to bed, but you know what I'm saying. And, I would still like it to get dark at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, see, I would be good with 6 o'clock sunrise, 9 o'clock sunset.
Yes, I'm getting ready for the Kevin Miller days of, brutality.
of Elvis's tinfoil on the windows.
No, I can't believe, I don't know how, I'm going to pull up Donald Sterling. I don't know how you people do it.
Us people.
Oh, my goodness. Just sitting back there and, 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, the sun's still out. And it's great if you don't work the zombie hours. Yeah. Hey, it's great. It's fun. It's exciting.
Yeah. It's that time of year. Happens every year. The sun seems to, it's like we're in Alaska or something. The sun stays up all night.
I'm counting the days until, mid-June, where it's the longest day of the year. I mean, I'm already doing that, going, okay, it's brutal and June, July, and August, and then September, you get a little respite, and then October, yes!
But you have to admit, though, it's nice, especially on the weekends when you can stay out, sit on the deck for a while because the sun, it's still light outside. I like that.
Yeah, you forget about my neighborhood. I got the wildlings behind me. I got the Sons of Anarchy next door.
Good point. You got chaos going on all around you.
Man.
Forgot about that. It's okay. You could have my world. Hey, neighbor. Oh, hello, Larry. How are you?
Well, the forecast is going to be fine today. And...
Well, that's all I got to do to clear Larry out. I go, hey, you said it was going to be nice this weekend. Ooh, got to go.
Right.
It's pretty easy to clear that house. Bizarre story out of California. Ready for this one?
Sure.
Casey Kasem is missing.
Yeah.
How weird is this? Casey Kasem has been suffering with Parkinson's disease, been in a big feud with his current wife and his kids. She won't let him see him, blah, blah, blah. And now they don't know where he's at. He's not in the care facility he was in. He's disappeared and gone missing. That is just bizarre. Some saying they think that he may be on an Indian reservation to our neighbors to the west in Washington State.
Well, here's the skinny on this between you and me here at 580KIDO. The Hollywood Reporter did an in-depth article, and the reason why I linked it to the hot list about his daughter who used to do a show with Nikki Sticks from Motley Crue. Maybe she still does. And his, you remember his wife, the big blonde,
mm-hmm.
who's not the mother of those kids from a previous marriage. And they have one kid, and she's very protective of Casey, wouldn't let the kids see, so they had to get a court order. And then she's in charge of the estate, and it's a very, as you've said, a contentious situation.
And a very big estate, by the way.
Yeah, well, you think about Casey, I mean, he owned that show, and on some stations still here in the Treasure Valley, not the good ones like this one at 580KIDO, you still hear Casey, and it's kind of eerie. And, you know, we all have to deal with our own mortality. We all have to deal with our own diminishing skills. Gosh, I know that. But here you have a man who cannot think or take care of himself, and I'm still hearing him counting down the hits.
Yes,
it's a little eerie.
They're out of the 70s and 80s, so, you know. This week's number one song is Tony Orlando and Don. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What? How does that happen?
No, I'm with you on that. I just sit there and go, ooh, and on an Indian reservation.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if she's getting medical attention for him there, if that's the case. I don't know. Story is developing. We'll try to get more info for you.
A big story yesterday, your friend Congressman Labrador.
Yeah, coming out and has decided not to stay in lockstep with a lot of the Republican Party, not supporting the governor, but supporting Senator Fulcher.
So the feud continues between Labrador and the Otters. He won't be getting, depending on what happens, he won't be getting his invitation to the Otter Ranch anytime soon.
I'm guessing not. That would be a fascinating closed-door conversation to hear. And Election Day, what are we, a week away now?
A week away. Where'd the time go?
Yeah, the clock is ticking towards that. And then all the yard signs go away for a while.
For a while.
Yeah. So you got that going. That's a pretty big announcement for Russ Fulcher.
Well, you have to wonder, is it to stick it to Governor Otter? Because they've had a feud since the congressman was in the legislature. Yeah. And then you have, you know, he backed Vaughn Ward, the governor did, and then he beat Vaughn Ward. And then there's always that. And then last year, Congressman Labrador came back and started actively campaigning against the health exchange. He's been keeping his powder dry, and you had to wonder. He did endorse his mentor, Lawrence Denny. But on the other hand, at 580KIDO, did he do this because he senses Fulcher is going to win and he didn't want to be on the outside? Did he do it because he needs cover now, as we broke the story yesterday? He's the point man on immigration reform. Big story in the Washington Times about him. Might play great in Washington. I don't know how well it's going to play here. Or did he do it because, he's setting himself up for 4 years?
Hard to say. Or maybe he just believes in what the message that Senator Fulcher is preaching, as opposed to what Governor Otter is preaching.
And if that's the case, then why in the world did he do it so late?
That was a thought I had. I mean, you're a week out, except I will say this. When it comes to any of the candidates, whether it's the governor, whether it's the senator, whoever it might be, again, and I have to keep pointing this out, the average person, they're just now, and not even the average person, there's a lot who won't even know there's a primary election next week, but to the, you know, the person goes, oh, I got a vote, they're just now starting to pay attention.
Those people that do actually vote, by the way, at 580KIDO, Dave Burnett, Kevin Miller here as we continue on. I know you're going to be you're going to be hurt when I tell you this news. Apparently, it's the end of the line for a lot of these reality singing shows. Glee is going out the window.
Darn. I've watched 10 minutes of that show.
The Voice is down significantly. American Idol is taking a beating. They've actually had to do make goods. They're going to trim it next year from 57 hours to 30 hours.
Thank goodness.
And a big article that we linked to in the Kevin Miller Hot List, the John Boehner and Immigration Edition, that details this from the New York Times, and it's just too much. And they talk about Simon Cowell in there and the X Factor and everything else. But I think if you had The Voice in the fall and American Idol in the spring, I think you could those audiences would come back. It's just too much.
I think so. I always go back to, what was that show? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That was a very popular show, and then they put it on three nights a week. And it was like, oh, enough of that. I don't want to have the helpline again. And I think, you know, seriously, I think it just gets too much.
You know what it was? It was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That was four nights a week they did that.
Was it four?
I just know
it was way too much.
Because they mentioned that in the piece, but I mean, you know, how many times can you take Regis?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, it gets a bit nauseating. And so they gave us too much. And I think it's that way with a number of the shows. Some of the reality shows are coming back. Survivor's been re-signed. Amazing Race has been re-signed. But the singing shows, a number of those, not good.
Well, Survivor has been pretty shrewd in how they've reinvented themselves. When they were in trouble, they went back to some of their old favorites. I mean, Russell Hance, who you and I disagreed with, he was on like four times in a row. And then you had Boston Rob, and then you had a few others. And then they sprinkled a little old, a little new, and now it seems to have caught its third or fourth wind. And really, Survivor, you know, it's the same thing every week. The blind sides, the this, that. The Amazing Race, still one of my favorite shows, although the Cowboys got hosed and the Afghanimals got it this week. I was happy about that. But, you know, there's something wholesome about The Amazing Race that you don't get in any other shows.
Well, in part two, you get to see parts of the world. It's not just a reality show. It's a bit of a travel show.
Except when they go to Vietnam and go, Vietnam is the best.
Yeah.
You're like, dude.
Somebody blew that one. Somebody totally blew that one.
Yeah.
But, and I think they've learned their lesson on that one. But yeah, a number of the shows, have been canceled, and yeah, I think the singing shows, I think people are just getting tired of it.
Well, they haven't really had a breakout star, Simon Cowell said, since Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, well, they haven't, and really, you think about it, what, Clay Aiken? Did I hear that the guy who ran against Clay Aiken died?
Mysteriously.
Ooh, how weird is that?
Apparently.
But, yeah, a number of shows canceled. The one that had the crazy ones, what's his name? Mrs. Doubtfire. Can't even think of his name. Robin Williams. That one hit the brakes. I watched that show about twice and went, okay, enough of that. That was bad.
Well, it's kind of like, Robin Williams and Adam Sandler has the time really passed them by?
Adam Sandler is still getting away with it. Robin Williams, not so much. Show that the CBS canceled, I forgot that it was on, Hostages. The one where these guys were going to kill the president holding this doctor hostage, and it just never came back on again. I totally forgot about that show. It's been canceled. I didn't know it. I thought it already was. I'd forgotten all about that show.
Hmm.
I thought it was kind of an interesting show, but my wife hated it. Hated the show.
Well, you're happy that The Mentalist is back. Boy, do we sound like the two guys on the Muppet shows.
We do. Hey. Yes. But, yeah, I'm just kind of glad some of the reality shows are getting at least trimmed back.
Now, speaking of which, here at 580KIDO, I think Donald Sterling should have a reality show with his wife Shelley and whoever that woman is.
I tell you, they had the big full interview with Anderson Cooper last night, and a big ratings boom for Anderson Cooper, because I think a lot of people watched that. And, I don't know, it seems to me, maybe Mr. Sterling has more on Magic Johnson than people are letting on.
Well, nobody likes to get uncomfortable, but he did go and go back to the Donald or the Magic Johnson, you know, AIDS thing and everything else.
Wasn't that 1991?
Well, he still has AIDS.
Well, I know, but that was 1991 when that story broke. But he went back to that and made it appear. It made it appear to me, in what I saw in it, that There's other stuff that Magic hasn't come through on, but is trying to look like the good guy. I think this could get to be a dirty fight before it's all said and done.
I'm going to speculate. I think Magic was the one that talked to that chick to release it.
Yes, I agree, because Magic wants the team.
Yep, Magic, I know it was you. Hey, Steve Wynn and his wife contributed 60, 90 grand to the governor.
Our governor?
Governor, well, right now.
The Wynns.
You ever been there?
The Wynn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was it?
I just walked through it. It was too expensive for me to gamble at.
Hmm.
I went up into the downtown area. Thank you very much.
So if you had a couple days in Vegas, what would you do?
If I had a couple days in Vegas?
Yeah.
Go see one of the Cirque du Soleil shows. Would hang out at a pool and probably go gamble a little bit.
Right.
Why? You sending me down for a couple days?
No, the last time I was in Vegas, I was covering the Bundy Ranch, but I've got a couple friends that are going to Vegas, and I thought I might go visit them for a day or two.
Yeah, I would go one of the Cirque du Soleil shows. There's a number of good things to do. Get out to the Hoover Dam. Worth seeing.
I've never, I was going to say I've never been to Vegas. I was there, but I just worked.
Yeah, but go, okay, because I know you don't gamble, but go to the M&M factory, the M&M store down there.
What about Penn and Teller?
Penn and Teller, it's an expensive show, but worth seeing. Oh, yeah, it's a high-priced ticket.
Well, forget that.
I haven't seen it. Too high a price for this kid's blood. Simple as that.
So the M&M factory and, like, can you look on the floor of the casino to get chips or something like that?
I suppose you could walk around the floor of the casino looking for chips. I don't think you'll find too many. I've never found any chips laying around on the floor of the casino.
Just be worried about Joe Pesci coming to get me.
You should be. You should be. But, no, there's things to see and do there besides gambling.
Tell Sharon Stone I'm a married man. Stay away from me.
That'd be good. Otherwise, there'll be rabbits boiling in the pot. Kevin, your traffic now.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
558, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next, what does Sharia law, Jay Leno, Ellen DeGeneres have in common? We'll break that down for you. Plus, the latest on the CUNA levy. Time to get you to work safely and on time at 580. A big day yesterday for Senator Fulcher with Congressman Labrador's endorsement. Was it enough? Will it be enough? And, you know, what it means for the race for the governorship here in the Gem State. We'll discuss that and much, much more. Remember, a week from today is Election Day. We do want to thank Congressman Simpson for his appearances on the show, for Brian Smith for being on yesterday. A big ad getting a lot of play right now, talking about Brian Smith's new ad concerning amnesty, no Simpson. And, you know, if you're going to drop a bomb, you always should do it right before, I guess, right before the election. That way the opponent cannot back down. In fact, this really plays into the debate that the A issue was brought up. If you're looking for much more information on that, you can go to the Kevin Miller Hot List, the John Boehner and Immigration Edition. We have a couple things there. Number one, we have the issue involving John Boehner pushing amnesty, the Chamber of Commerce telling the GOP to push amnesty, and Congressman Labrador involved in immigration reform. Details, Kevin Miller Hot List, John Boehner and Immigration Edition. Bye, baby.